This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, Amy. This is a soft open.
It's a soft open.
Yeah, people are wondering, where was that big dramatic open that you had? We don't have one right now.
Is it 10 o'clock?
No. It is 9:06 Central Time. Good morning to those of you who are wondering where in the world Total Information AM is. Well, it ends at 9 now, and the Chris and Amy show, which used to be on from 10 until 1 every day, is now here. We are here at 9 o'clock. We're going to go with you until noon every single day on 104.1 FM KMOX.
104.1 FM KMOX. Say it again for the people in the back.
Yeah, so if you're still listening on 1120 AM and you are in range for that 104.1 FM signal, we'll give you 2 seconds to flip it over. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. Hello, you're on FM now.
So, guys, I'm so excited about this. It sounds so good.
In the car, it sounds great.
Oh, my gosh. This morning, so here's what I did. I woke up, right? You get ready for work. Make myself a cup of coffee. Put it in a little tumbler. You know, you put coffee in a tumbler when you get in the car.
Yeah.
Started driving. Had 104.1 FM, KMOX. Crystal clear.
Beautiful.
And here's what I thought. Man, how good are the Cardinals going to sound?
That's what
I'm
thinking.
I know we sound good, but how good is Cardinals baseball going to sound in the car on 104.1 FM?
Well, some things to tell you about as it pertains to opening day, but you will get an opportunity to listen to Cardinals baseball in FM tonight. There's a ball game tonight that we are airing. It is an exhibition game against the Memphis Redbirds. So that will be here on KMOX. 6:05 is the first pitch. And
pregame, 6:05.
That's the pregame.
6:15.
6:15. All right, perfect.
First pitch.
Great. So we're killing it today. Matt Pauly will be on the call.
That's right, with
our
Benji
guy,
Molina.
Matt Pauly and Benji Molina.
Oh, that's fun. That's
so you get to hear some Cardinals baseball FM today. We are still streaming live on all the other platforms that you've had access to, the Odyssey app, for example. And in fact, from the Odyssey app, where you can leave us a voice message, right next to the Listen Live button, there's one that says leave a message. Well, record a message, send it to us, let us know how we sound on FM. We think we sound great.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, let us know.
It's so easy to leave us a voice message, because here's the thing. If you leave us a voice message to say how good we sound on FM, you'll get to hear how good you sound on
FM.
That's
right.
That's kind of meta.
Great point.
Thank you.
Also, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. If you follow us at Chris Amy KMOX, you can watch the show if you want.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
That's right. Everybody talking about us being on FM radio 104.1. If you have not made the switch and you are in the area, go right ahead and do that and just put that on your preset.
And I know we've had a lot of really fun news this morning, but Ranj, just some tragic news over the weekend. Former radio host Brian McKenna was killed in that pedestrian crash on Hampton. He was hit by a car. Brian McKenna, so many people, so many listeners, so many of those in the radio world know him, and so much for his charitable work. So a big loss for St. Louis.
Really great dude. Also, the Cardinals finish up Grapefruit League play yesterday. As I mentioned, they do have their exhibition game against the Memphis Redbirds, and then it's baseball time. We are approaching opening day, which happens on Thursday. Also, how about those Blues?
Holy cow.
Man, they are playing some really good hockey. They have themselves in playoff position right now, and this is a very good time of the year for them to be playing well.
The Blues have the best record in the National Hockey League since the Four Nations Cup. 12-2-2. That's, again, you can have a bad season. You can have, as we knew in 2019, a last place season, but if you get hot at the right time, everything changes. How fun would it be? How fun would it be to make a deep run into the playoffs? Like, you just, we miss it. It's been forever. Think about this. We haven't had a deep run in the playoffs since before COVID. We live in a different world now. We live in a totally different world. It's time for the Blues to make a deep push into the playoffs. That would be really fun.
Man, if they do, after having a, an underwhelming season, it wasn't an awful year, but they've been having an underwhelming season. If they start to play really good hockey, which they have been, but if they keep this up and then the playoffs start, and yeah, maybe they win a series or two, and who knows what happens after that. That would just be really something. So here's what that would tell you, that the Blues need to be under 500 or in last place or something in December.
Yeah.
Because the only way they can make really deep runs in the playoffs and maybe get to a final is to have to come all the way back from being in the pits of hell.
Yeah.
So
There's a famous, I say famous, the call is more famous online, like social media, but it's an Irish broadcaster calling some, I don't know, semi-pro track race, right, in Ireland. It's really random, but there's a guy who's in last place in this relay on the track, and when he starts gaining ground, he goes, "Oh, an O'Connell from the depths of hell!" and like the Blues, "From the depths of hell!" The Blues are making a push. And I just still think of this Irish broadcaster talking about this guy making a push. Okay, we are still streaming our show on YouTube.
Yep.
On the KMOX channel on YouTube.
You can watch us.
A great question from Brian. Good morning. Will Hancock and Kelly still be on Friday from 8:30 a.m. to about 11 a.m.?
And the answer is yeah.
Yes.
Basically, so the Hancock and Kelly show on Fridays will start at 8:30, and they will then sit in. Well, it's going to be a short one for them. This is at least for now. They will go until 9. We start our show at 9 o'clock, and then Hancock and Kelly hang out with us for that entire hour. So we actually get an extra 15 minutes with the boys on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So from 9 to 10, it'll be the Hancock and Kelly hour with us. And we told them, when we were trying to figure out what's going to happen, or when the higher ups were trying to figure this out, that we look forward to Friday, not just because it's almost the weekend, but because that hour with them is so much fun.
It's my favorite hour.
Love it.
It's so much fun. Yeah, they're great.
Over here trying to do serious stuff, and they just won't let us. They start talking about billiards.
Snooker,
you know?
Not billiards.
That's all the same.
Snooker and traveling. So it's a lot of fun. And again, if you are just listening to us, just tuning in on 104.1, it's really exciting that in the 100th anniversary, is it an anniversary or a birthday?
Well, technically the birthday will be Christmas Eve.
The birthday is Christmas Eve. But it's the 100th anniversary year for KMOX, and fun to jump on over to the FM, reach more people, sound clearer than ever, and exciting because in a few minutes we're going to chat with Joe Buck.
We will be talking to Joe Buck right after 9:30. We'll come back from that break and we'll talk to Joe. Dan Dierdorf is going to join the show. Bob Costas is going to be on the show. Matt Pauly is going to be on the show.
Chris Saliza
is going to be on the show.
Yeah.
We got a lot coming up today, and we're glad you're with us. So please visit with us however you want, 314-436-7900, our phone number to call or text. You can also, and we encourage you, to send us a voice message from the Odyssey app. Let us know how KMOX sounds on 104.1 FM. We are going to talk to Joe Buck after 9:30. He'll be coming on the show. As I mentioned, Bob Costas, Dan Dierdorf. We got a lot happening today. Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX. Hopefully you have made the switch in your car today. So, Amy, you briefly mentioned this. There was a longtime sports radio host. I think if you lived in St. Louis and listened to sports radio at any time in the last 20 years or so, you knew who Brian McKenna was. And we got this news over the weekend that he had, first the story was that he had passed away, didn't know what had happened. But then there was the accident that occurred. He was crossing the street on Hampton, a little bit south of 44, and he was hit by a car. And it's absolutely tragic. Yeah. I did not get to know him super well. I met him once when I was interning at this station back in 1998. We were at a Jackie Joyner Kersey event, and I got to go to it and cover it. And he was there in the press box for it. This was over at SIUE's campus. And I forgot exactly what the event was, but she was there for it. And he was super helpful with me because I was new. I didn't know what I was doing and still don't. But he was great. And he talked to me pretty much the entire time. And that was the first time I had met him. And I did not see him again until, I think, several months ago. He was coming on with the Dave Glover show and he popped into the studio here. Very, very nice person and a good friend to a lot of people in St. Louis. And you've probably read the stories by now. He had the cancer battle that he had been facing, his skin cancer. And during the pandemic, his friends had set up this thing where they were trying to help him cover the medical cost because it was expensive. And something like 500 cars drove past his house because it was when we were separating and trying to be apart from each other because of the pandemic. And just that outpouring of support for him, because he was so well-liked and he had so many friends and family. And this is just, it's absolutely tragic that this happened and all the stuff he had dealt with, you know, and in his personal life and with his health, and appeared to be doing pretty well. Of course, I didn't talk to him a lot, so I did not know. And it seemed like he was doing okay. He just celebrated St. Patrick's Day. That was a big thing for him and his family. And then to have this happen.
Yeah, 61 years old. And, you know, there's a story. Obviously, there are stories everywhere. I honestly, Ranj, heard about the pedestrian crash first. So I thought, oh my gosh, someone was killed on Hampton by a car. I got hit by a car. And it was shortly after that I started seeing other radio personalities like Kevin Wheeler post, like, oh my gosh, you know, this was Brian McKenna. We all knew him. And in a KSDK story, one of his friends is quoted as calling him the most famous, unfamous person you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And it's such a great way to put it because so many people are famous or whatever, famous because of their jobs and what they do. And while Brian McKenna was a radio personality, what made him famous was who he was as a person. Because before I was even in radio, I knew all about Brian McKenna. And like, it wasn't that I had grown up listening to him on the radio. It was everyone talked about him, and then he would MC events and they talked about his charitable work, and he would, you know, be a guest on certain shows, across the St. Louis area. He was on, sports TV like KSDK and so forth. And so he really was, his fame surpassed even the position that he was in as a radio host because of who he was as a person. Everybody knew about him. So our hearts and our thoughts go out to his family and friends. Just a really tragic accident.
And as far as the accident goes, I'd like to know more about how it happened. I know it was later at night, something like midnight, or I think it was pronounced dead at one.
The driver stayed on the scene. I mean, the driver's cooperating, so I don't know if it was just one of those where it was dark and he didn't see him.
And Hampton's not, it can't be a particularly easy road to cross. It's a pretty big road.
Pretty big road, yeah.
I mean, I would be nervous doing it.
Yeah.
Especially here, you know. I don't know, it's absolutely tragic, and I feel bad for his family and for people who knew him better than I did. And just in the very short interactions I had with him, I thought he was a swell guy, just a really, really nice person.
All right. And I guess in a day of celebrations and like we talked about big news for KMOX, we want to honor Brian McKenna. We also do want to bring up, I have to bring this up, Ronj. And then we'll move on. But we just talked about a few days ago about the City Justice Center being the deadliest jail in the country because so many detainees had died. And I brought it up in light of the mayor being so thrilled to close and then demolish the workhouse, which I toured after $6 million worth of repairs. There was a gym, there was a chapel, there were outdoor spaces. We went with Judge Jimmy Edwards, who seemed to have a personal relationship with a lot of the inmates and detainees there because they would come up to him. Smelled clean. It was temperature controlled, so it seemed like some of the worst offenses had been fixed. But meanwhile, what is the mayor saying about the City Justice Center? Another detainee has died, Ronj, over the weekend. This is the 19th person to die in the City Justice Center since 2020. That's not that long.
That's not good.
19 people have died. And of course, we know Jennifer Clemens Abdullah. She was let go after she had been on this non-excuse personal absence for, 3 months, and nobody knew where she was. And then she was let go, and now Doug Burris is running the CJC. Laughably, I don't want to say laughably, but for a long time, the locks didn't work.
Yeah.
I think some more focus and transparency needs to be shed. Some light needs to be shed on the City Justice Center.
I know that people generally don't really care about the conditions that a prison inmate or a jail inmate has to deal with, because I know what the thought is. Hey, they've committed a crime. Why do I care what their conditions are?
Some of these are just accused.
However,
some of these guys haven't been charged
that's
yet.
Right. That's number
convicted.
Right. That's number one. Number two is, we're supposed to care about that kind of thing. We're supposed to care about conditions for people who have been accused of crimes or are convicted of crimes, because we're better. We're supposed to be better.
19 people since 2020.
That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ronji. When we come back, we will talk to Joe Buck. He is going to join the show. I think you know who that is. Joe Buck with us next on 104.1 FM KMOX. Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ronji on 104.1 FM KMOX. And it is time to go to the guest line today. And we thought we'd bring in somebody who has a history here at this wonderful radio station. In fact, I think it's the only place he's ever worked. Joe Buck is with us on KMOX. How's it going, Joe?
It's good. It's going great. It's the weather's turned. It's kind of nice out, and baseball's right around the corner, so all things are good.
Hey, and baseball's right around the corner for you. You're returning to a national call for the first time in a handful of years.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, it's been 4 years. I am doing Yankees Brewers on opening day on Thursday, and kind of fell out of the sky for me. ESPN asked, they had a need for a play-by-play guy, and I submitted my resume and they accepted it. And so up to New York we go. My daughters live up there, which is awesome. So we're bringing the whole family, my little boys, and we're going to make it a family trip. So the Bucks go to New York starting, I guess, tomorrow morning.
No, that's super fun. And you were obviously calling football, Monday Night Football, and honestly, did the 4 years go by quickly where you feel like you're jumping back into the booth to call a baseball game, or does it feel like it's been a long time?
It feels like it's been a long time, and it shouldn't. I've watched a ton of baseball, obviously, since then, but it feels like it's been forever. So I'm excited to get back, give it a shot, you know, kind of exercise those muscles again. It's a part of my DNA, so I feel like I'll fall back into it. But I'm working with two guys, Joe Girardi and Bill Schroeder. Both guys do local stuff. One, Joe does it for the Yankees. Bill does it for the Brewers. So I'll lean on them like I used to lean on McCarver or Smoltz, and just, you know, have fun. I think the main thing is having fun with it and just, you know, remembering that anybody watching that game just wants to watch the Brewers and the Yankees. They don't really care who's calling it. So I'll do my best and go home and see my kids after the game. It'll be great.
Well, when you make that decision, because it was your decision to step away for a while, how long does it take before you realize, oh, man, I miss it and I want to get back in there?
You know, it's kind of a multi-layered answer. I think at this stage in my life, being 55 and having done it for 35 years, and done, you know, a lot of World Series and a lot of All-Star games, I feel like I've checked a lot of boxes that I never even expected to check. When I was a kid, and, you know, I was growing up here, all I wanted to do was be my dad. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be the Cardinals announcer. I never thought of doing national games. That wasn't something that I aspired to. And so I did way more than I ever dreamed I would. And so once I had the chance to leave Fox and go to ESPN and do Monday Night Football, I think the balance kind of tipped in the favor of I'd rather free up my schedule, be around my young boys who are now just about to turn 7, not have a month of October where I'm just going all over the place, and just kind of make a big change in my life. And I think that outweighs the yearning to do baseball on a national level. I did a game last year with mm-hmm. Chip Carey. Loved that. It's the local stuff really that I miss, which is where I started, where you get to kind of root for a team, and you know, you're happy when they win, you're sad when they lose, and you're the eyes and ears of in St. Louis's case, Cardinals fans everywhere. So it's a long way of saying I think it came at the right time in my life, and I'm excited to do a game and just kind of do it for the heck of it, have fun with it, and then go about my life without it.
Well, obviously, the local stuff, so important to St. Louis. The Buck family, synonymous with the city of St. Louis and St. Louis Cardinals baseball in so many ways. And I guess I'll break this news here, Joe, since it is the 100th anniversary of KMOX. I think our boss Steve Moore said we are bringing back Christmas with the Bucks, and so Chris Ronji and I will show up at your house on Christmas morning with the recording crew and everything. It'll be great.
Oh my God! It's the fun. I was just thinking about it this morning. It was great doing that. As a little boy and growing up, you know, kind of on the radio, like we were the Partridge Family. But as the years went on and I got older, I was like, can I just sleep on Christmas morning? But we had engineers in the house and my dad, I mean, they lined up so many different musical acts and I had friends coming over and then I was interviewing friends of mine and, you know, it was a lot, but that was kind of my dad, and it made all the sense in the world for him because he loved that kind of stuff. He loved people, and he would get letters, and back then it was letters from people in nursing homes and people who had maybe lost family and were alone on Christmas mm-hmm. morning, and it made them feel like they were surrounded by family and friends, and that made it all worthwhile. So it was it was interesting. I'll use that word, doing that every year. But, you know, I think all in all, the net of it was it was really fun and cool to do.
That was a very long way to say we're not invited. That's
yeah, you're not invited.
I still can't believe we talk about that. I'm like, I can't believe
they did it.
They did
yeah,
that. And really groundbreaking. That's the original Keeping Up with the Kardashians, kind of.
Yeah, it was without a lot of the drama. It was great. I mean, I some of my earliest memories are of Christmas morning, and you know, my dad would have Stan Musial come over, and Ozzie Smith, and Brett Hull, and Kelly Chase, and then my mom would line up all these different singers, and there'd be a piano player, and there'd be a little orchestra, all of this in our living room. And they would wire it, and we would just kind of go. So I don't know. It was neat. And some of my fondest memories are every Christmas was that. And at the beginning, we used to go down to the station. So oh, wow. it moved from downtown to our house. I think that must have been my dad's give back. Like, okay, we're not all getting up and driving down, but if you want to do it in our house, which seems like an even bigger ask, come on over.
But again, it was Jack Buck, so whatever he wanted, that was going to happen, right?
Yeah. No, I think between he and Bob Hyland, who ran KMOX and was just a titan in this city, you know, they kind of made their own rule.
Yeah. Obviously, Joe, growing up with your dad being Jack Buck and the Cardinals and KMOX and all of that, did that feel normal, like not extraordinary until you hit a certain age and then you realized? Or did it always feel somewhat special?
It felt special for sure. And I think it felt normal. Obviously, you only know one way. And so that's just what I was born into. It was the greatest thing ever. I mean, I had a great father. I had a mom who, you know, did so much because my dad was traveling a lot. But I think the age is, you know, when my friends would come over and they would freak out when they heard my dad, like, in the kitchen and be like, oh, my God, that's Jack Buck talking. And he just told us to take the garbage out. That's unbelievable. And I'm like, yeah, it's my dad. And, you know, I wasn't the smartest kid as a little boy. I remember going up to the TV when I saw him on TV thinking he was stuck in there. My mom joked about that when I was a little boy. So obviously I wasn't too bright. But it just was, you know, he was my dad and he was a great dad. He was very, very loving. And, you know, but I do feel like I and we shared him with the city, which was awesome. But at every big family dinner, we had people that would just come up to the table all night. And my dad was not the type to go, hey, you know, we're eating here. Well, I'll do whatever after we're finished. He's like, yeah, pull up a chair. I met you in Paducah back in 1974. And you know, he just, that's how he got his life was. And so, you know, we got that all back when he passed away, and there were people on the highway as we made our way out to Jefferson Barracks and the cemetery out there, you know, saluting him and, you know, just applauding and, you know, whatever it was like, my God, this man had such an unbelievable reach in this city. And it wasn't just because of the Cardinals. It was because of the fundraising and the banquets and the, you know, the handshakes and the moments in coffee shops and bars and whatever it was. He just made people feel really special, and it's because they made him feel special. So it was an awesome example to see as a little boy.
I met your dad once when I was interning at this station in 1998. And he came into the sports office, and I was the only other person in there. And I think I was waiting for Randy, or I'm not sure. And he didn't say anything. And then After a few seconds, he introduced himself, and I said, I'm Chris, and I told him my name. And he waited a little longer, and he said, Ranji, what the hell kind of name is that? That was my interaction with Jack Buck.
And I love that. I can hear it. What the hell kind of name is that? But that's because his mind is probably going, all right, Ranji, how many Ranjis have I met in St. Louis? Did I meet? And then he's probably stumped. So he didn't like being stumped.
Yeah. It was awesome, but he
cast a long shadow, but I think, you know, with the interactions he had with people at the station, like Randy Carricker or Steve, who you talked about earlier, Steve Moore, or, you know, whoever it was, young people that were around the station, you know, I mean, your interaction is a little different, but I do think that he would usually take the time to kind of, you know, let somebody know that he was watching or he was listening or he was there to help if need be, or whatever it was. He just was a generous guy. And it's great following him into this business because I've never had to worry about the second half of the sentence whenever somebody says, hey, I worked with your dad back in, you know, 1984. And I know the next part of the sentence is going to be, man, he was so nice. What a great guy. He just treated everybody the right way. Instead of, you know, I would imagine some people when they say, they hear I worked with your dad back 30 years ago, they're ducking for whatever's coming next. And he just was consistent, I think, is the best way to put it. He was consistently a good guy that really went out of his way for people. And was very generous, and so that's a good way and good thing to see as a kid, a dad that took that kind of interest in other people.
You know, you've been pretty open, Joe, about being a Buck and that helping you get your start in broadcasting. When did you feel like it was all you and you were no longer Jack Buck's son?
I think I could live to be 95 and I will still feel the same way. You know, it's especially in this city, you know, until a certain amount of people pass away, I am going to be known as Jack Buck's kid. I'm 55 years old. And, you know, it made more sense when I was, you know, 24 doing it or 18 on Camel X, which was when I made my grand debut, thanks to nepotism. but I think when you're kind of inundated with that, it just becomes a part of you. So I don't think there will ever be a day where I am thinking, oh, well, this is all me, because it's not. I was doing sports reports on afternoon drive time at 18 years old. And, wow. And if my last name wasn't Buck, I wouldn't have been doing it. I was doing AAA baseball at 19. And if my last name wasn't Buck, I wouldn't have been doing it. I was doing the Cardinals at 21. And if my last name wasn't Buck, I wouldn't have been doing it. And then Fox comes along and I auditioned and I went out to LA. And had I bombed the audition, I wouldn't have gotten hired at Fox, but I had the audition because my last name was Buck. So the entire beginnings of my career all are tied to my dad and what he was able to do as a Depression-era kid who made the most of a GI Bill that allowed him to go to Ohio State and get, you know, a college education and then become a young announcer in the minor leagues and then in St. Louis. And I mean, all of the hard work that he put in, I benefit from. So I will never, and I don't, it doesn't bother me. I will never think of it as just me. This has kind of been a father-son thing and will be forever.
But you could also say too, because you were a Buck, yes, there were some opportunities, but what an incredible mentor or instructor that you could watch in the same way. If you were the son of a famous chef and you grew up in the kitchen, you'd have a lot of experience and knowledge too. So that also folds into it.
Totally. And I'm very proud or happy that I paid attention as a kid. You know, it's one thing to have the entree and to have access, but I also, you know, paid attention and then worked hard. And I think, you know, all that stuff goes into it. But I had a master class every night. I would sit in the far right seat in the KMOX broadcast booth down on the same level as my dad and Mike Shannon and Colin Jarrett, their longtime engineer before him, Tom Barton. And I would have a one can headphone up to my ear, and I'd be watching my dad and Mike call the game. I'd be watching the game with my own eyes. I'd have access to the game notes and watch him keep score and figure out how to do that at a young age. And I just watched that kind of symphony happen in front of me every night. And, you know, I guess I had no option but to pay attention, but I loved it. And I loved the excitement of it. So, you know, yeah, it opens doors, but you still have to step through it. And all of them, and you have to deliver. And if you don't, you'll be gone. I mean, I'm not an idiot. I know that if, you know, my dad's been gone for 22 years, and he never worked at ESPN, as far as I can tell. So, you know, I probably wouldn't be there if I didn't do a decent job. But, you know, just as far as who I am and what I am and why I am, I mean, that is all because of my dad and my mom, but at least professionally because of my dad.
Well, Joe, it's great to talk to you. We're glad to have you part of the family here, and we hope that we get to, you know, have the opportunity to talk to you again. It's a big day for us here at KMOX, so it was great to have you with us.
No, well, it's my pleasure. And, you know, I was just doing the math. This is the 100th anniversary.
Yeah.
My dad would be 100 if he were still alive,
yeah,
which is pretty crazy. kind of nuts. But, you know, KMOX is a part of my family. And I owe so much to the radio station and to Bob Hyland and to everybody there. So I'm honored to be on. Thank you.
Joe, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That is Joe Buck with us on the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Really clear and strong. Way to go, guys.
There you go, Charlie, with a voice message on the Odyssey app telling us that listening on 104.1 FM is awesome.
Clear and strong, like every point that I make.
I can't wait to go back to break, because when we come back, Amy,
yeah,
we're going to talk to Dan Dierdorf. That's right. Hour two of the show is next, and so is Dan on 104.1 FM KMOX.